the UK government in turmoil as the incoming finance minister announces plans to revise the controversial tax policy of his predecessor. Tensions escalating in the occupied West Bank, where Israeli regime forces have killed three more Palestinians in a single day. And in Turkey, a huge mine explosion leaves dozens of workers dead. Welcome to World News from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you for joining us. Our top story this hour, Britain's new finance minister, Jeremy Hunt, is signalling a U-turn on an unpopular economic plan Prime Minister Liz Truss unveiled after taking office last month.
It was a mistake to cut the top rate of tax at a period when we were asking everyone to make sacrifices. And it was a mistake to fly blind and not to back up the economic plans that were announced with an independent forecast from the Office for Budget Responsibility.
Now, Hunt has acknowledged that tax increases were on the cards, but he added what Britons want more than anything else is stability, including political stability. He said he needs to deliver on those expectations. Truss fired Kwasi Kwarteng as her Chancellor of the Exchequer on Friday. She also scrapped parts of her economic package that caused uproar, even in the ruling Conservative Party itself. Hunt is due to announce the government's medium-term budget plans on October 31st. It will be a key test of his ability to show investors that the UK can restore its economic credibility. The country is grappling with high inflation and slow economic growth that has raised fears of a recession. Our London correspondent Robert Carter says a U-turn on her tax plan was an embarrassment for Prime Minister Liz Truss in just 2 months in office.
Major economic crisis that has been brought about just weeks. In fact, I think it's under 2 months since the new Prime Minister came into office. Now, this Prime Minister Liz Truss won her battle in the Tory leadership campaign on the back of promises that she was going to implement tax cuts, was going to fix the economic crises that have plagued Britain's economy for the past several years, and that's what eventually won her fight. But what's happened in the space of a couple of weeks is that she's managed to perform a deeply embarrassing and humiliating U-turn, sacked her chancellor, her former chancellor, who had only been in the role alongside her for a matter of weeks, and has totally backpedaled on all of the policies that won her the right to become the current prime minister. Now she's turned in her desperation to a seemingly safe and trusted pair of hands, a brand that has some credibility, Jeremy Hunt, who has performed many roles for several previous governments. And clearly, Jeremy Hunt has informed the Prime Minister that, look, I will take the job on, but there's going to be major changes, and I'm going to have to implement my views on what should happen going forward. Truss has totally accepted that clearly, and Mr. Hunt has even admitted that past mistakes are going to have to be cleared up. This is tremendously embarrassing.
A damning report shows the EU border and coast guard agency Frontex was involved in human rights violations and tried to cover them up. The agency's efforts to force refugees away from EU borders at sea resulted in thousands of deaths. Jerome Hughes reports from Brussels.
It's estimated at least 2,000 refugees drowned in the Aegean Sea during 2020 as they were pushed back from the EU coastline by Frontex, the 27-nation bloc's border and coast guard agency. Frontex prevented at least 40,000 asylum seekers from reaching the EU, which blatantly breaks international law. A report by OLAF, the EU's anti-fraud office, concludes Frontex has been systematically involved in human rights abuses. The scandal was raised by reporters on Thursday following a meeting of EU Justice and Home Affairs ministers.
my colleague Ylva Johansson in the Home Affairs Council is in charge of such a kind of issue, and certainly Frontex. So if you have the opportunity to ask the same question to Ylva Johansson, she will have maybe the possibility to answer to you.
This is the end of the press conference.
However, on Friday, EU Home Affairs Commissioner Ylva Johansson only took three unrelated questions from journalists, despite many lining up to ask about the Frontex scandal. According to the Olaf report, Frontex top management not only ignored indications of human rights violations, they were also complicit. Former head of Frontex, Fabrice Légeries, and his team gave instructions to look the other way so as not to witness pushbacks. In addition, they covered up the illegal practices of Greek border officials. Légeries resigned last April after parts of the Frontex scandal first came to light. The EU pays outside countries billions of euro to stop refugees from travelling to the bloc. Apparently, this practice contributes to the rights abuses.
It's also very, very concerning the way that some of these deals are being made on a diplomatic level without the contributions of civil society.
To compound the injustice, EU ministers have pledged to expand support measures to 4 million Ukrainian refugees who have arrived in the bloc and insist there is no limit on the number who can still travel here. The GUE-NGL group of EU lawmakers, known as the Left, is demanding that a debate on the Frontex scandal is held in the European Parliament next week. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called for all-out resistance against Israel's relentless acts of aggression. This after the regime killed three Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Hamas urged any Palestinian who possesses a rifle to point it at Israeli military forces. The movement says Israel's recurrent desecration of the Al-Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied old city of Al-Quds will not go unpunished. Israeli troops killed a Palestinian man late on Friday over a shooting attack at a settlement which left an Israeli settler wounded. Earlier in the day, Israeli troops had attacked the Jenin refugee camp, killing two Palestinians. One of them was a doctor who was shot while attending to the injured. Meanwhile, a big protest has been held in the besieged Gaza Strip following the Friday prayer to support Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The demonstration comes amid an increase in Israeli violations against Palestinians in the occupied holy city. Ashraf Shannon brings us more details in this report.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has held a big protest in the Gaza Strip to condemn the surge of Israeli attacks in Al-Quds and on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. People thronged the streets of the blockaded territory following the Friday prayer to take part in the event. Protesters shouted slogans against the Israeli regime and vowed to stand with Al-Quds. In recent days, extremist Jewish settlers backed by Israeli forces have been violating the sanctity of Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Al-Quds. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has warned the Israeli regime against violations in Al-Quds and asserted that armed resistance is the key to reaching freedom.
We condemn the Zionists' provocations in Al-Aqsa Mosque, and we salute the freedom fighters in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. Today, we're entering a new era where armed resistance against Zionist occupiers is the strategic choice, not only in Gaza, but also in the occupied West Bank, Al-Quds, and everywhere in Palestine.
Protesters also expressed their adherence to resistance as the best way to defend Al-Quds against Israeli aggression and attacks.
We came today to show our unwavering support for the armed resistance in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. The Zionists are desecrating Al-Aqsa Mosque and they only understand the language of force.
Palestinians in Gaza have expressed their willingness to sacrifice their lives for the sake of liberating Al-Quds. Occupied by Israeli forces in 1967, Al-Quds has been at the core of the Palestinian struggle for justice and freedom.
Al-Quds is the core of our struggle against the Zionist enemy, and we are willing to die in order to protect it. Zionist forces and settlers are desecrating Al-Aqsa, and we must escalate the resistance against the Zionist occupiers.
This is while Palestinians consider Al-Quds as the capital of a future Palestinian state.
Palestinians here are calling for stepping up all forms of resistance against Israeli plots over Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque. Ashraf Shannon, Gaza.
A top court in Argentina allows the remaining crew members of a Venezuelan cargo plane to leave the country after they were prohibited to depart since June. The five people include two Venezuelan and three Iranian nationals. They are among 19 crew members of a Boeing 747 cargo plane that was grounded in Argentina over illegal U.S. sanctions. The plane had been sold by Iranian company Mahan to Air to Venezuelan airliner Trista, but both sanctioned by the U.S. The aircraft carrying auto parts landed in the Argentinian capital en route from Mexico on June 6th. It was not permitted to refuel in Buenos Aires airport, so it headed for Uruguay, where it was denied entry. And that forced the plane to fly back to Argentina, where its crew was detained at the U.S. request. Argentina later freed 14 crew members. The death toll from Friday's coal mine blast in northern Turkey rises to 41. The Interior Ministry earlier said 58 miners were able to come out unharmed. It said miners and rescue teams made great sacrifices to free those trapped. Some 110 people had been working underground when a methane blast rocked the mine located in the Black Sea town of Masra. According to the health ministry, 11 out of those pulled out alive are being treated in hospital. It was one of the deadliest industrial accidents in years in Turkey. U.S. President Joe Biden has delivered his national security strategy. He has again pointed to China as the biggest threat to U.S. security and the world order. That being the case, the question would be, why does the U.S. take a militaristic approach to contain China, threatening global peace and stability in the process?
The rising rivalries between the U.S. and China are set to dominate the coming years in the 21st century. That is because the U.S. has unveiled this long-delayed national security strategy, where China is named as the most consequential geopolitical challenge for the regime in Washington. That means that Washington is prioritizing winning over China, as Beijing is seen as the only global rival to the U.S. Jake Sullivan, the U.S. National Security Advisor, said, "The People's Republic of China harbors the intention and increasingly the capacity to reshape the international order in favor of one that tilts the global playing field to its benefit." The U.S. strategy further insists that China represents the most consequential challenge to the global order. It also says the U.S. must win the economic arms race with the superpower if it hopes to retain its global influence. The strategy has warned that China's rapid advances in technology is aimed at molding the world order. The strategy is in line with the rhetoric pursued by the Biden administration and its predecessor. Biden officials have accused Russia and China of looking to change the so-called rules-based order.
When it comes to the U.S.-China relationship, the two have clashed on a variety of issues, but most of it, not all, have been initiated by Washington. The two countries have faced off over trade, Beijing's claims to the South China Sea, Taiwan, and technology, among others, and the U.S. has made it clear that it will not let China succeed in any of those areas.
The term has come to be seen as a synonym for Washington-led world order. The Biden administration has entangled itself in a number of global crises, including the war in Ukraine. The Washington regime encouraged the war in Ukraine by sending more weapons into the conflict zone. Washington is using the crisis to contain Russia. And by encouraging its allies to sever their energy ties with Moscow, Washington is trying to push European countries into its own sphere of influence. Furthermore, Washington is stoking tensions in the East Asia region by strengthening its ties with the Chinese Taipei. Back in August 2022, the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan, drawing an angry reaction from China. Beijing has warned that it will not tolerate Washington's meddlesome interference in its own affairs. But Washington's increasingly belligerent behavior in Europe and East Asia has pushed Russia and China closer together. They have forged closer ties in a variety of fields, including energy, business, and defense areas. Furthermore, both Moscow and Beijing are key members of the BRICS groups of countries and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Two bodies are playing key roles in shifting the Western-led balance toward a multipolar world. Russia and China have also forged closer ties with countries like Iran and India, which are emerging powers in the shifting geostrategic relations worldwide. It is now widely believed that Washington's ambitions to still lead the world is facing tough challenges. It appears that the regime in Washington has no longer the capability that it once possessed to dictate its hegemony.
Just 2 weeks ahead of the presidential runoff in Brazil, leftist candidate Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva leads his right-wing rival incumbent Jair Bolsonaro. Lula, a former president, now has 49% of voter support versus 44% for Bolsonaro. That's according to a poll by Data Folha published Friday. The result remains unchanged compared to the first poll published by the Institute last week. Brazil held the first round of its presidential election on October 2nd. 11 candidates competed for the top post, with Lula and Bolsonaro being the main contenders, but none managed to pass the 50% margin. Lula gained 48% of the vote. Bolsonaro got 43%, a better performance than expected for Bolsonaro. The two are set to square off again on the 30th of this month. Well, that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the Limelight.
British Prime Minister Liz Truss has faced severe criticisms over her foreign policies and handling of domestic economic problems. This has caused her popularity to drop at home. One of the things that has made her face a lot of criticism is her firm support for the Zionist occupying regime of Israel, and also her attempt to move the British embassy from Tel Aviv to the occupied city of Al-Quds. We take a look at some of the world press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Palestine Chronicle website has more on this story. British Prime Minister Liz Truss described herself as a huge Zionist and a huge supporter of Israel during a meeting with a pro-Israeli Tory parliamentary group recently. Liz Truss was a guest of honour at the Conservative Friends of Israel event during the annual Tory Party conference in Birmingham, which she was attending for the first time in her new capacity as Prime Minister. According to footage of her remarks published on social media sites, talking to a crowd on the sidelines of the event, she declared her unwavering commitment to Israel. She told the cheering attendees, "As you know, I'm a huge Zionist, I'm a huge supporter of Israel, and I know that we can take the UK-Israel relationship from strength to strength." The Conservative Friends of Israel itself focused on part of her speech in which she referred to threats from authoritarian regimes who don't believe in freedom and democracy, against which two free democracies, the United Kingdom and Israel, need to stand shoulder to shoulder. Liz Truss's position on Israel is well known, and she promoted it during her campaign to become the new Conservative leader and Prime Minister. Among the policy changes that she pledged to effect in office was to review the relocation of the British embassy from Tel Aviv to the occupied city of Al-Quds. Former US President Donald Trump did the same thing during his time in office. The British Prime Minister made the same promise recently during a meeting with her Israeli counterpart, Yair Lapid, on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly meeting in New York. Pro-Palestinian groups and the Palestinian leadership have condemned this idea. The website of the Middle East Monitor has more on the same story. The Palestinian Hamas resistance movement has censured British Prime Minister Liz Truss for calling herself a huge Zionist who wants to strengthen London's relationship with Tel Aviv, saying the comments are in line with the United Kingdom's 1917 Balfour Declaration, which set the stage for the creation of the Israeli regime in occupied Palestinian lands. Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Zuhri made the statement. He said, "Her statements about supporting Zionism mean she's standing at the Zionist regime's side and supporting aggression against the Palestinian nation." Sami Abu Zuhri added that such remarks are in line with British crimes which began more than 100 years ago with the Balfour Declaration against the Palestinian cause, which is fighting off the Israeli occupation. The Hamas official said, "Britain's Prime Minister was one of those who covered up the killing of innocent children," adding, "This is shameful for humanity." The Balfour Declaration came in the form of a letter from Britain's then Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour, addressed to Lionel Walter Rothschild, a figurehead of the British Jewish community. It was published on 2nd of November 1917. The declaration was made during the First World War and was included in the terms of the British Mandate for Palestine after the dissolution of the Ottoman Empire. It is widely seen as the precursor to the 1948 Palestinian Nakba, when Zionist armed paramilitary groups, who were trained and created to fight side by side with the British in the Second World War, forcibly expelled more than 750,000 Palestinians from their homeland. Press TV's website has more on the same story. Recently, British Prime Minister Liz Truss told the Israeli regime Prime Minister Yair Lapid that she was considering transferring the British embassy in Tel Aviv to the occupied city of Al-Quds. If this happens, the contentious policy shift would be similar to that of the United States under former President Donald Trump in May of 2018. Angered by British Prime Minister's announcement, the Palestinians described the statements as a new Balfour Declaration by Britain and said it proves Britain's bias in favour of Israel. The Gaza-based Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement both condemned reports about moving of the British embassy to the occupied city of Al-Quds. Hamas spokesperson Abdel Latif Qanou said at the time, "The announcement by the British Prime Minister Liz Truss about her intention to move the British embassy to the occupied city of Al-Quds is a flagrant bias towards the occupying Israeli regime. He warned that the move would not give Israel any legitimacy over 1 inch of Palestinian land." Hazem Qassem, another Hamas spokesman, warned that moving or relocating the British embassy to the occupied city of Al-Quds would be considered as a new crime by Britain against the Palestinian nation. A senior official from the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, Mohammad Shallah, accused Britain of continuing to display arrogance against Palestinians. Mohammad Shallah said, "We are not surprised by what Britain is doing in the light of the ongoing Arab and Islamic silence." He added, "We blame the Arab and Islamic countries that are supposed to support Al-Quds." Another Palestinian Islamic Jihad official, Tariq Salmi, warned that the controversial British plan would anger Arabs and Muslims. He denounced the move as a hideous colonial aggression against Palestinians, adding that Britain is directly responsible for the tragedy of the Palestinian people. The Israeli regime lays claim to the entire city of Al-Quds, but the international community views the city's eastern sector as occupied territory, and Palestinians consider it the capital of a future Palestinian state. Liz Truss's approval rating sank to a new low of 47% in an Observer poll published on Sunday, 9th of October. Her popularity is lower than that of Boris Johnson, at the nadir of his political career, and is the worst ever recorded by a new British Prime Minister. According to the survey, some 64% of British voters disapprove of Liz Truss and how she is handling her job, while only 16% approve, leading to an overall approval rating of 47%. Equally unpopular among Brexit supporters and opponents, a majority of voters, or 53%, think Liz Truss should resign a mere month after taking office. Liz Truss's dismal approval rating comes despite the new Prime Minister delivering a keynote speech at the Conservative Party annual conference in Birmingham. Such events usually give leaders a boost in the polls as they get a chance to explain their political platform to a receptive crowd.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the human beings, and we're trying to dissect the human being, because we need to understand how we operate so we can make sure that we do not transgress and oppress other people when it comes to their rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and through the sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they're trying to teach us how we can be the best human beings possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we said, sometimes he mentions the bad, negative attributes of a human being, and sometimes he mentions the good attributes of a human being. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that, obviously he's trying to warn me and teach me who I am, so I can refrain from the bad and do the good. So the choice of doing both or either is mine and yours, not Allah's. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously in control of everything, but he wants to see what I and you do, and reward and punishment is due to the action that I make. So what makes the perfect human beings in terms of human rights? So if we want to maintain human rights and make sure that others are, their rights are maintained when it comes to me and you, what or how should we be? There are a number of things that we've been told through the Quran and through the words of the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam that we need to have and should obtain if we don't have and seek them. One of which is purity. And this is just a whole concept, to be pure. Being pure, it means that you are a righteous person. A person that does not oppress other people. You're pure in the sense that you do not want to harm other people. You don't want to take the rights of other people. Like I said, this is just an overall general concept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he might refer to it as al-qalb al-salim, immaculate heart, is the heart that has no hate towards other people. A heart that has no animosity towards other people. A heart that does not want to harm other people. So this is just purity, again, when it comes to the mankind, that they don't do anything bad when it comes to others. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and even the prophets before him, the entire messages of Islam and other religion is for the human being to become a pure human being. So Allah says, when he talks about the Prophet, yuzakkih him, he purifies them. Because when we are not purifying ourselves and our hearts, then obviously we will sink in the pits of sins and crimes, and obviously taking the rights of other people. And sometimes, you know, taking the rights of others begins in our own houses before we even go outside the house. So we have to be a pure the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended us to be. So the first trait for the perfect being in terms of human rights is that we need to maintain that purity overall, this general concept of purity. Before we look at other traits, let us quickly take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. We are looking at the perfect human, or the perfect as we can be, in terms of dealing with other people and maintaining their rights from an Islamic perspective. One concept that Islam emphasized on, maybe more than a lot of concepts in Islam, maybe one of the most emphasized on point beside monotheism and stuff, is thinking about other people and caring about other people. Now, it is very easy for the human being to be selfish. Selfishness comes without a cost, comes without a worry. In fact, it might even come with a pleasure to the person who is being in that state of not thinking of other people. Why? Because you're only taking and you're not giving, and you're only keeping and you're not sharing. And when you see stuff that you have more of stuff, then you start to think, well, you know, I'm good. I don't care about people. Because when you care about people, it means you have to give, and giving obviously harms you. Well, but that's not true though. That's not how reality works. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want human beings to think of one another, to feel how one another feels. So for example, when you look at our ibadat, there are ibadat Allah made compulsory on us, and they deal directly with other people. So we need to feel how they feel, for example, when it comes to khums, when it comes to zakah, you know, Islamic taxes, and even when it comes to fasting. One of the aspects of fasting is that as a human being, when I fast for a whole day from dawn to sunset, sometimes it could be 17 hours, sometimes 18 hours, depending on where you are. And you feel the hunger and you feel the thirst. That should remind you of other people who don't have these commodities, who are less fortunate than you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way or another, is trying to get to me and get me to feel what other people are feeling. Because sometimes we forget, we get so occupied with ourselves, with our selfish self, and we're trying to please ourselves, that we forget about other people. Allah says, think of others. And from an Islamic perspective, if you look at the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to our last imams, they always say, think of others before you think of yourself. Pray for others before you pray for yourself. Do this for others before you do that for yourself. Why? Because if I make human beings and other beings priority, then I won't be oppressing them. Then I won't be taking their rights. But if I don't, then I will. I wouldn't care much about them. I don't care what happens to people. Why should I? In fact, you know what? Let me go oppress others so I can satisfy myself. So Islam and the Quran, they constantly want the human being, if he wants to be exemplary, if he wants to be perfect in the sense of a humanity, he needs to think of other people. So we said there is a wholesome purity that he needs to maintain. But to be specific, he needs to do what? He needs to think of other people. Think of their pain. Think of their misery. Think of their suffering. And think, how can he or she make a change in someone else's life and help another human being? That's, like I said, one of the main teachings of Islam, and that's what makes Islam so beautiful. So we will leave it here, and inshallah we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
Britain's cost of living crisis is worsening, with food price inflation at its highest level since the 2008 financial crisis. The sharp rise in prices is pushing up the average annual household bill as Britain's poor struggle to pay rising energy bills. Despite the relative decrease in the inflation index last month, for the month of August in England, statistics show that volume of retail sales decreased more than expected during this period, and this is a sign that England is moving towards economic recession. We are prepared for you a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency writes, Britain's economy grew by less than expected in July, raising the risk that it is already in a recession, with the sharp climb in energy tariffs hurting demand for electricity and a leap in the cost of materials hitting the construction sector. Recent official data showed, with inflation at a 40-year high of more than 10%, gross domestic product, or GDP, expanded by 0.2% from June, weaker than a median forecast of 0.4%. In the 3 months to July, gross domestic product was flat compared with the previous three-month period. Some economists said recent data suggested the economy might be on course to shrink in the July-September period, having contracted by 0.1% in the April to June quarter. Jake Finney, an economist at PwC, said, "This would mean that Britain enters a technical recession for the first time since lockdown restrictions ended." Paul Dales at Capital Economics said, "A disappointingly small rebound in real gross domestic product in July suggests that the economy has little momentum and is probably already in recession." In August, the Bank of England forecast a recession for the world's fifth biggest economy, lasting from end of 2022 until early 2024, due in large part to a hit to living standards from energy prices pushed up by the war in Ukraine. But recently, new UK Prime Minister Liz Truss announced a cap on domestic energy tariffs, which, along with an expected round of tax cuts, reduces the risk of such a protracted hit to Britain's economy, albeit at a cost of £100 billion, or $116 billion, or more to Britain's already stretched public finances. The Office for National Statistics, the ONS, said anecdotal evidence suggested that the surge in power prices was changing consumer behaviour and demand for energy had fallen. Separate trade figures also showed the impact of soaring prices, with the value of imports of fuel hitting an all-time high of £11 billion in the month of July, and representing a record 21% of all goods imported into Britain. The Financial Times also reports on the same story. Sterling slid to its lowest level since 1985 against the US dollar on Friday, 16th of September, after a round of weaker than expected data on UK retail sales amplified concerns that the country was headed for a prolonged recession. The pound dropped as much as 1% to 1.135 per dollar, the first time it has breached the 1.14 mark in almost four decades. It rose back to just above $1.14 in New York trading, but remains down almost 16% in 2022. The currency's sharp decline reflects a broad rally this year in the dollar, as well as particular concerns over Britain's economy. Sterling was off about 0.5% on Friday against the euro at 1.141 euros, leaving it down about 4% this year. According to data published on Friday, 16th of September, by the Office for National Statistics, retail sales fell sharply in August as British consumers struggled with soaring prices and high energy costs. The quantity of goods bought in the UK fell 1.6% between July and August, reversing a small expansion in the previous month. This was a larger drop than the 0.5% contraction forecast by economists polled by Reuters news agency, and the latest fall since July 2021, when COVID-19 restrictions on hospitality were lifted. Olivia Cross, economist at Capital Economics, said the figure suggested that the downward momentum is gathering speed and supported her view that the economy is already in recession. The Office of National Statistics said that rising prices and cost of living pressures were affecting sales volumes, which have continued the downward trend since the summer of 2021, following the reopening of the economy after pandemic lockdowns. The figures highlighted how high inflation has hit consumers and a wider economy. The government's £150 billion energy support package announced this month is expected to limit the blow from the recent surge in gas prices, but it did not dispel the risk of a recession. Victoria Scholar, head of the investment at Interactive Investor, said the fact that the sterling fell against both the US dollar and the euro on Friday showed that is not a dollar move, but in fact, it is traders selling the pound amid negative sentiment towards Britain's economic outlook and investment case. The website of Turkey's Anadolu news agency covers the same story but from a different angle. A think tank said in its report British households' spending power is expected to be slashed by an average of £3,000 by the end of the year as living standards drop by the largest margin in a century. The report prepared by the Resolution Foundation, an independent think tank focused on improving living standards for those on low to middle incomes, said that household incomes are expected to fall by 10% this year as well as in next year. This means real earnings would fall at the fastest rate since 1997, and that by mid-2023, real pay growth since 2003 would be erased. Together, the number of those in absolute poverty would increase by as much as 3 million. The Resolution Foundation said that these estimates already include the government's existing £30 billion package to support, announced in March Inflation in Britain is now in the double digits, 10.1%, in its highest level in the past 40 years, driven mainly by surging energy prices. The think tank called for tens of billions of pounds of further government support. Lalitha Tri, a researcher at the Resolution Foundation, said that the future of British living standards look terrifying. She said typical households are on course to see their real incomes fall by £3,000 over the next 2 years. The biggest squeeze is at least a century, while 3 million extra people could fall into the poverty trap. No responsible government could accept such an outlook, so radical policy action is required to address it. We're going to need an energy support package worth tens of billions of pounds, completed with increasing benefits next year for October's inflation rate. Lalitha Tri added, the new Prime Minister also needs to improve Britain's longer-term outlook, which can only be achieved by a new economic strategy that delivers higher productivity and strong growth.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this hadith is about obedience to Allah. Obedience to Allah is one of those very central and important Islamic virtues. Right? We have many verses in the Holy Quran which allude to this. For example, in the Holy Quran, we read, O ye who have faith, obey Allah and obey the Apostle and those vested with authority amongst you. That's a very famous verse of the Holy Quran. Right? So we cannot achieve virtue and we cannot achieve otherworldly salvation, sa'adat, in the hereafter, without obedience to Allah. Right? Obedience to Allah is very central in our destiny in the hereafter. Regarding obedience, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, obedience to Allah is the key to every efficient matter and the redressing of every immoral act. And he also said, the person most worthy of Allah's mercy is the one most diligent in Allah's obedience. And also, finally, he said, it is incumbent upon you to obey the one whom you hold no excuse to remain ignorant of. So obedience to Allah is, again, it's been encouraged in all of these hadiths. And in fact, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, he said, he who obeys his creator is not bothered by the displeasure of the creation, meaning other people. And, when this obedience to God comes into conflict with the obedience to people, obviously the obedience to Allah should be given priority, and we should not obey people when it comes into conflict with the obedience to God. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have said, he who pleases a ruler with regard to something that displeases Allah, Allah excludes himself from the religion. He who pleases a ruler with regard to something that displeases Allah excludes himself from the religion of Allah, mighty and exalted. Right, so this person actually exits the parameters and jurisdiction of the religion of Islam, in fact. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has been reported to have said, beware of obeying your leaders and your elders, who felt proud of their achievements and boasted about their lineage. And do not obey those who claim to be Muslims but who are hypocrites, whose filth you imbibe alongside your propriety, whose ailments you mix with your healthiness, and whose wrongs you have allowed to infiltrate your rightful matters when they are the foundations of vice. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at obedience in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. Iran's leader has highlighted the importance of Islamic unity in preserving the Muslims' common interests and